Lord, let us see hearts touched. Let us see people helped. Let us see an outbreak, not just in this church, but in every church that we step foot in. Whether we preach or not, God, let us see a real move of God, a real revival. Amen. So if you have your Bibles and you turn with us tonight, we want to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 33. Exodus chapter 33. While this next statement has nothing to do with the message because of what Pastor said a while ago, I preached a message not too long ago when we were at the home church about 3 weeks back, I believe, out of 1 Kings. I preached about that calling fire down from heaven. And I felt like the Lord showed me something new, and I just wanted to talk to you about it for just a moment. You'll find that when Elijah took and rebuilt that altar, and then he laid the wood down upon the altar, it said that he cut the sacrifice to pieces. And that night while I was preaching, I got to thinking about it. He cut the sacrifice to pieces, but then he laid the entire sacrifice on the altar. And while I was preaching, I felt the Holy Ghost confirm in my spirit, there's many people that they'd like to cut the sacrifice to pieces, but they only want to put a little piece on the altar. They only want to put a little bit of that sacrifice on the altar. But you find that Elijah put the entire sacrifice, and then when the fire fell, it consumed the entire sacrifice. And that word consumed just means to eat. God ate that sacrifice completely up. Why? Because every piece of it was given to him. Amen. I'd like us to give everything we've got to God tonight and let God move in the midst. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 33, if you don't mind, we'd like to stand for the reading of the word. I won't keep you standing too long. Starting with verse number 11. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Listen to this now. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Isn't that a wonderful way to finish a conversation with God? He said he spoke face to face with him as a friend. And I want to let you know that if that conversation ended right there, Moses would have been worth the entire prayer to him. But it did not end right there. The very next verse, verse number 18, it says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." I would tonight, that would be the prayer of the people as we try to deliver the message unto you. Show me your glory. I'm going to ask Pastor if he would to take us to the Lord in prayer tonight. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Moses has had a marvelous life up to this point. He's walked with God now and before. He's seen miracles. He's led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He's followed God, leading the way as a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. Oh, you know, every time I think about that pillar, I think about holiness churches in general. Oh, one brother's already testified about how we get a hold and we get ahead of God sometimes. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord moves, and when He moves, that's when the children of Israel were to move. He protected them all throughout the desert, all throughout the wilderness, but they were not to go forward until He went forward. They were not to move outside the shadow. Oh, let me tell you a little bit in case you don't know. I was in the Army for about 2 years, and during that span, I had the privilege, if you would, of going to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California, in the middle of the Mojave Desert. Now, I didn't never get sent overseas, but I can tell you out there in California, it hit 125 plus for two solid weeks during the day. And at nighttime, I believe it got down to 70 or 80 degrees. It felt like we were freezing. Oh, there were nights that I'd be bundled up on the cot in the fetal position just trying to get warm. Oh, and I think about this and how God led them. And I think about the danger that could have came into their life. Oh, if they had stepped outside of that shadow and they'd have felt the brute heat from the sky. Oh, but God led them by the way. Oh, if they'd have been in the midst of the cold nights, they could have starved. They could have froze. They'd have been cold and miserable. But the Spirit of God led them. By the way, oh, you got to have a leader who is willing to fall behind the presence of God and to send the people forward. Only when the Spirit of God moves will we sing. Only when the Spirit of God moves will we shout. Only when the presence of God says go will we go. Hallelujah. Moses already in his life has had a life more wondrous than anyone else could say up to this point right here. You have as Adam walks in the cool of the day with the Lord. Abraham sits underneath the tent with the angels. But you have Moses standing on a mountain in the midst of the presence of God. You have Moses in the midst of a tabernacle, standing in the midst of the presence of God. And it says here in verse 11 that he spoke face to face with God as he would with a friend. I got to thinking about it. It won't just a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. It won't just to come to church and dwell in for 2 hours and going home. But he spoke to him face to face as he would a friend. Oh, how is it that I built up a relationship with my wife? I had to court her. I had to take her to eat. I had to buy her things. I had to get her attention. I had to be funny and throw out jokes. You know what I'm trying to say? You build up a relationship with the one you want to spend time with. Oh, it's more than just coming to church and sitting on a pew. It's more than just throwing out 30 or 40 words all the time. Sometimes it takes that sweet hour of prayer to build that relationship with the Almighty. Hallelujah. But everything Moses had been granted up until this point had been because of who he was. I didn't grow up in a well-privileged home. We weren't underprivileged by no means. The Lord supplied the need. But it was not a well-privileged home. But I went to a local Free Will Baptist Christian school where you had the kids that had grown up. Oh, and everything they had ever wanted was, you know, the old saying, handed to you on a silver platter. Oh, the cars, the cell phones. Soon as they got certain ages, you got landmark gifts. Oh, think about it, church. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. Everything he'd ever wanted was right there at the touch of his fingers. Every book he ever wanted to read. Every game he ever wanted to play. Everywhere he ever wanted to go in the kingdom. It was right there. Oh, and his sister follows him down the river. His sister speaks up and says, I have a woman here that can take care of him if you'd like. So not only does he have the perks and benefits of growing up in Pharaoh's house, but now he's also got the benefits of growing up in a Hebrew house and learning about the God Almighty and learning about the works he's done. No, I don't believe that Moses' mother and father told him who they were, but I do believe that they told him about the Lord and about the works thereof. Oh, there's too many people in America growing up not knowing who the God of heaven really is. It's time we take this all the way back to the beginning and raise our children up knowing the works of the Lord and the moving of the Almighty. It's time for it to be more than just a storybook reading. It's time for it to be more than just a bedtime story. It's time to live in the midst of the presence of God. You know, a while back, excuse me, I'm getting ahead of myself. Nothing he'd had up until this point has satisfied the one hunger and the one desire that he has in his life. Everything's been given to him. Everything he worked for. He's gone and spent 40 years on the backside of the desert. But yet when God's call came, it was right in front of him. He had the privilege of walking by that fiery bush and saying, I'll do it. After God showed him who he really was. After God performed the miracles to say, I'll be with you. Oh, but now we're at a place where those three miracles ain't enough. Now we're at a place when just being the leader of the children of Israel ain't enough. Now we're at a place when just being called a Christian is not enough. Don't you think, church, it's time we get to a place where just living in America is not enough. We're just having everything we could ever want is not enough. It's time we get to a place where just going to a holiness church ain't enough. But get the same cry that Moses had and say, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I was down in prayer about a year ago, and the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. I wrote it down. I've put it in a couple of different messages. Oh, but he said the miracles that you have seen up to this point were just a warm up. The miracles up to this point were not meant to be the glory days. They were not to be meant to be the end all. All those miracles that you've seen up till now, Moses, they weren't meant to be all of it. It won't meant to be everything you've ever tasted. So I got to thinking about it. If this was not meant to be the glory days, if this was not meant to be the end all, then what does that mean for Moses' sake? Everything from this day forward. Oh, for my sake. Everything from this day forward. Oh, how many stories have I heard told about the revivals in the old church of God? How many stories have I ever been told about the revivals in the old independent churches? How many stories about the 5 weeks and the 6 weeks and the 12 revivals. It ain't over. It ain't over. It's time we get a hold of God. Speak to him face to face and say, show me thy glory. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. John 6 and 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. You know, my dad's uncle told me a story, it's probably 20 years ago, about how he was in the midst of revival service. The piano was on that side. There was a rail behind it. He said, and he was in the midst of the song service getting ready to preach. He was an evangelist. Oh, and the Holy Ghost come down through that church. He didn't tell me how big it was, but he told me the Holy Ghost hit him, knocked him clear over that rail behind him. He hit his feet and took off the running. He told me that the piano he was playing, it never stopped playing. He said the presence of God came down in the building. He said I was a running and I was a shouting, but the piano kept on playing. It's called the glory of God, and it's something that we need today. We've gone too far from it, church. In the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, you'll find 13 times the phrase "the glory of the Lord" was mentioned. Every time, God was moving in either protection, power, or judgment. Every time you hear of the glory of the Lord, God is on the move. I said my prayer tonight is, God, show me your glory. Oh, I wish to the good Lord we could leave here tonight and say truly, we have been in the midst of the glory of the Lord. Truly, we have seen the glory of God. Because what would that mean? It would mean he had been moving in power, in judgment, and in protection. He'd cleaned us up and he'd walked among us. He'd lifted us up and he walked among us. He'd strengthened our backs and he walked among us. The people you'll find, I mentioned revival. For those of you who don't know, that word revival does not mean a series of meetings. It don't mean Sunday through Wednesday. It don't mean Wednesday through Sunday. It don't mean 6 weeks, 12 weeks, or 48 weeks. It means the restoration of life, consciousness, vigor, strength. It means new life, new excitement, new excitement. Oh, I got to thinking about revival, and my mind always goes to John chapter number 4. That woman, she got a hold of that water, and that living water, it means water that gave excitement. She left the burden at the Lord, and she took off starting revival. It's time we get in the presence of God. We feel and see his glory. We leave our burdens with him, and we go out and have revival. The people had been pulled from Egypt. They got used to this new way of life. Oh, but preacher, I don't dwell in Egypt anymore. But you've gotten used to the wilderness. Oh, preacher, we don't live there. We don't do that anymore. But they got used to that mountain. Come on now. They got used to the burdens. They got used to the problems. They got used to the way God was moving. It won't nothing special to get fed bread from heaven. It won't nothing special to maybe to get water out of a rock or see the waters part. It no longer becomes special to us to see souls get saved and people get sanctified and people get baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's time we get a renewed vision. It's time we get new life. It's time we see the glory. Glory of God. Church, I understand that 40 days without hearing from God would be a long time. That's what happened to them. 40 days without seeing the leader would be a long time. But three words I want you to understand is God is faithful. 40 days is a long time to pray for revival. I'm just putting us in their shoes. 40 days is a long time to seek for change, something different than the norm. But God is faithful. 40 days is a long time to talk to somebody one-on-one, brother. It's a long time. It give me plenty of time to get to know you. It give me plenty of time to get to understand what you want to see and where you want to go. Oh, while he's carrying conversation, those people are getting tired. They're getting weary. Oh, but three words, church. God is faithful. During the long days and the long nights, getting complacent where they're at, they have this problem. They start watching from afar. Exodus 32:9, it says, the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people just means haughty and stubborn. We have a lot of those in our churches, unfortunately. I've been there at one time. You know, I wasn't going to go this route tonight, but the brother that opened up service mentioned laying out of church. Now I got to thinking about the three verses before what we read. If you go back to verse number 8 in chapter 33, I'm just going to read it. It says, and it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Let me tell you, I've gotten two things from that passage of scripture right there. Number one, I don't know if everybody's going to be able to see me, but number one, we have a problem in our holiness churches that we like to sit in the tent door, which is the home. We like to sit in the tent door. Oh, we think that when the power of God falls at the church, we can feel it just as good as we can at home. Now, let me tell you, I understand when you're sick. And when you're sick, if you can't get a hold of Jesus at home, oh, we've got problems. Because I want to know that I have a God that can hear my prayer. Oh, but there's a difference between being sick and laying out. There's a difference between being sick and just being lazy. We have too many people that'll say, I can feel God just as good at home as I can the church house. Oh, I don't disagree, you can feel Him. But there's a different feeling. There's a different presence. It's a different power. It's a different power. Why? If God wanted you to know that you could stay home and get just as much in the Spirit, He would have said that the cloudy pillar descended upon their tent and they worshiped in the tent door. But He said the cloudy pillar descended upon the tabernacle and everybody worshiped in their tent door. So then I got another little token from that. And that is, we like to come to church and we like to sit down on the pew. Oh, and oh, everybody knows that we ain't going to raise our hands. Everybody knows that we ain't going to get past the tent door. We ain't going to rise up and get out of the comfort zone. But it's time that we get out of the tent door. We step out into the presence of the Lord. It's time that we say, show me thy glory. You say, preacher, why can't I get anywhere? It's because when the power falls, you're still standing in your tent door. Come on, church. I don't know you. I don't know what you've been doing, what your problems are, where you're at. But I know that the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said they need to see the glory of God. Oh, I know when I walked in the church house tonight, I heard what I believe was the pastor crying out in prayer. And I heard words like, we need revival. Oh, and I said, I got it, Lord. I understand where you're sending us. And then the brother said, oh, it ain't time to lay out of church. No, friend. No, sir, no, ma'am. It's time we say, God, I want your glory. Hallelujah. I'm tired of hearing about the presence of God and how great it was. I'm tired. I've told my wife I'm sick in my stomach sometimes about hearing about the great revivals. Brother Ralph Horton was a great man, and there's been other wonderful Pentecostal revivalists and pastors and preachers in the last 80 years. But hearing the stories of how it was when they began has pure made me sick almost, because I'm tired of hearing what they've seen. I want to see it myself. I desire it myself. I want the glory of the Lord myself. Ezekiel 22 and 30 said, "And I sought for a man among them." He said, I'm looking. I preached a message just last week on help wanted. He's looking for help. He wants somebody to get a desire and a hunger and a burning zeal just like Moses had. He's looking for somebody that said just the good old miracles ain't good enough. Oh, just some fire every now and then ain't good enough. Just a hard blowing wind every other service ain't good enough. He's looking for somebody that is willing to stand in the hedge and make up the gap and say, "God of heaven, show me your glory." Verse 15 said, "And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Moses made up his mind. He said, "Lord, I'd rather die in the power than live without it." Come on, young folk. 40 and under, you know exactly what I'm preaching about tonight. I'd rather die. I'm so sick of hearing about it. I've had some taste every now and then about the power of God. I'm making up my mind right now. I'm making up my mind tonight. I'd rather die in the power than live without it. I'd rather die serving God than live without Him. I'd rather die going forward than sliding back. He said, I'm going to bring it down to our level. Just before we came out full time last September, I was working at an airplane plant. Annual reviews for every employee were due in by June the 1st. This plant's the biggest it had ever been. It's only the second annual review they've done. And HR got pretty backed up. It just so happened. 2 weeks before we're supposed to leave and go full time, HR sends down the reviews, and my manager has a meeting with me. I've already given my, I think it was a 60-day notice I gave. But 2 weeks before we're supposed to leave, my manager meets with me and says, "HR deems you worthy. You're getting the biggest raise on the team." But then, he said, it was like a complete demeanor change. He knows how I've lived. He said, "But I know this raise ain't going to hold you back. You've been a great light on the team, and I thank you for it." Because I had already said in the prayer closet, "Lord, I don't care how it comes back. You've already made my mind up, and I'm going forward." Moses, I believe if he could break it down into our terms today, he'd say, "I'll not take another promotion, except you go with me. I'll not take another position, except you go with me. I won't take another job. I won't switch departments. I won't buy anything else. I'll not buy a house. I'll not buy another car. I'm not going to stick my neck out again unless you go with me. I must see you. Our glory." God, if you don't send your glory, don't even let us have revival. God, if I never preach again. Moses had an overwhelming desire. Oh, the last couple months especially. God's been moving in me. Oh, I lock myself away. I'll go walk and pray. I'll get away. I'll do what I got to do to make sure that I break through. I say, God, if I never sing again. God, if I never preach again. God, if I never see another revival. Show me your glory. Take me away from this place. Send me somewhere new. Open up my heart and my eyes. Show me your glory. Psalm 27 says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." There is a hunger. There is a stirring. There is a moving. That old song said, there is a hunger deep down inside of me. I want the power of the Spirit to flow over me. I don't want just the initial outpouring. I don't want just a baptizing. I don't want just another refilling. I want a complete and utter change. I want your glory. I want to walk in it. I want to talk in it. I want to live in it, God. Show me your glory. I believe Moses made a proclamation. I'm getting ready to close. I want you to see this visually. I wish I had a stick. But I believe as wide as that tabernacle was, that Moses might have just put his back on that tabernacle wall with a stick in his hand, put the edge of it in the ground, and said, "I'm drawing a line right now, God." Come on, church. Somebody in here tonight needs to draw a line in the... Need to draw a line in the sand and say, "God of heaven, I'm taking that all the way from wall to wall, because when I go over, there's no going back. When I make this proclamation, there's no change in my mind. I want a life change, a lifestyle change, a living change. It's got a complete change every day, every moment, every second. I want your glory." I believe Moses would have said, "I refuse to leave the same way that I came. I refuse to sing the same songs. I refuse to be satisfied with just a taste." I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost. "I refuse to be satisfied with just another service. All the 10 o'clock, 6:30 and 7:30 three times a week is just getting old. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going through the same motions. I'm not doing the same exact thing. It's time I change it up, Lord, and let it start with your glory. Let it start with the move of God in my heart. I refuse to be satisfied with just a prayer. I refuse to go out and fight these same battles face to face with the enemy and not be changed." I ask you tonight. I asked you at the beginning. I'm going to ask you now. Do we want real revival? Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight if you would. Before the glory of the Lord fell in Midian, Moses was afraid. He said, "Lord, I'm not fit enough. I have a lack of fitness. Lord, I can't talk plain. Lord, I don't have the authority. I don't have powers of speech. I'm not a great orator. Lord, I'm not worthy." What happened after the power of God fell, after he had a glimpse and a touch at the burning bush, he was bold. He was changed. And he walked with the power of God. You say, I don't see how God can change my situation that easy. Well, Midian was known as a land of idols, an evil land. But all it had to take was him falling in the presence of that bush. And he said, take your shoes off, for the place you stand is holy ground. All we got to have is his presence. And all the evil goes away. All the evil flees. All we got to have is his presence. Oh, John chapter 1 said, and the light walked in, and darkness comprehended it not. All it takes is God's glory to change every situation and to turn everything around. All it takes is the glory of God to have revival. So this is going to be simple tonight. It's not general. This is serious. But God saw the hands that raised and said they want revival. How between you and God, I ask you, will you raise your hand and say, God, I desire your glory. Oh, if you're sick of the stories and then you want to see it yourself, we need to get in these altars and draw a line in the sand and say, God, I refuse to be the same. Show me your glory. Oh, if you're tired of the way things used to be and you want to see it now, it's time you draw a line in the sand, church. These altars are open. It's time to draw a line in the sand and say, God, change me. God, break me. God, turn me around. Show me your glory. There's already ones coming to the altar. I ask you tonight, are you willing to say, God, change me, open my heart, open my life, change the situation, show me your glory. You raised your hand tonight. I ask you, can we get in these altars? God, I'm drawing a line in the sand, and I'm not going back.